I'm not a lawyer. I used to play one on C-SPAN. I'm not an ethical authority. I do know something about drones, having watched firsthand. I should say I come at this with the general principle that organized killing is barbaric and sinful, but it goes on. And I've had a chance, and I should say, even, I mean, some say, well, yes, when we achieve the peaceable kingdom, then we can call these things barbaric and sinful. No, I think even short of that. What I say is a little bit out of date. I'm no longer in Congress, and I left the Intelligence Committee some years before I left Congress. But I was there almost at the creation when it was shortly before I arrived in Congress that through an earmark, the Predator was purchased by the government from General Atomics. And I saw this carefully compartmented program. Most members of Congress did not know that these existed or that they could be or were being used for targeting people. I've traveled to Waziristan and Yemen and Afghanistan. I've talked with the teams that both in this country and abroad that determine what the signatures are that they are looking for, that hour after hour monitor from these unseen drones the movement of the terrorist suspects. Now, I'll say a few words. This will be a little bit redundant, and I can't do it really as well. About Just War. George Hunsinger will talk more about, I'm sure, about that, and Marianne O'Connell will talk about the legality, how lawful this is. It's clear to me that although they call themselves war fighters, they are assassins. This is assassination of named people. Just because it's signature doesn't mean that it's not a particular person that they're going after. What they mean by signature is by observing the movement, observing the particular vehicles involved, they deduce where the person is. I found these people, some of them soldiers, many of them intelligence employees, probably GS-13 level, something of that order, I would guess, who think of themselves as professionals. But many of them are technicians more than soldiers. And they are careful in what they are doing to try to avoid children. They watch for that. They watch for others. But they cannot see the faces. At least what I observed, you could make out figures, but could not possibly distinguish one from another. These are flying very high. It's quiet. In fact, they fly so high that often there is no signature of the drone heard on the ground. So whatever happens is truly out of the blue. Which I think brings a measure of terror to the occurrence, to the assassination then. Because you can't really see the individual, you are using a kind of profiling that is, it is, Bishop, I would say, profiling, and it is circumstantial. So you have to ask whether this fits with any sort of just war or just assassination theory. I'll leave that to others to sort through. The fact that it is covert, for a long time, the very existence of the program was covert, adds, I think, an important moral dimension. It is much more acknowledged now, and the president has effectively acknowledged the use of drones. And as we knew even before that, he has embraced the use of drones. Because it's covert, I mean, there's a certain arrogance and foolishness in our covert programs. The United States intelligence community uses covert programs a lot. Seems to me they should be very, very rarely used, because if they come to light, the negative reaction can do more damage than one could gain in the process, and they always come to light. I mean, I've called senior, up to the Director of National Intelligence and the Director of CIA and any number of other people before my committee when I was a chair, and asked them to give me a single occurrence of a covert program that did not come to light eventually. And they said, well, such and such, and they'd say, well, no, they're really risk. And I said, well, what about this program? They said, well, we denied that. So it didn't come to light. But it really is a different degree of violence, or if you want to call it warfare, if it is not out in the open, if it is not through a military chain of command, if it is out of the blue, as this surely is. It got started because of a fascination with technology. This is gee whiz stuff. It really is. I've looked at these planes, and up close, they're nice gadgets. And when you see a room full of screens showing the camera view from several different angles in many different places at the same time, it's impressive. And members of Congress, some of them were, I think, pleased to be read into the program and then fascinated by the technology, and did not exert any significant oversight about it. Now, I was appalled. I was frustrated about my inability to do anything about it. But that's pretty much true with my attempt to bring oversight to any part of the intelligence activities of this country. I realize This is not supposed to be a confessional of my shortcomings, but it is in this area in particular, when I quizzed these, as I say, well-meaning teams of assassins about how what they really thought of what they were doing, it was complete miscommunication. They would have to go, it would take them many hours or days to get into a frame of mind to be able to engage in the discussion that's going on here. They were not asking any of the fundamental questions about this. They were there to take out the bad guys. They would say that in many cases, although they usually as a team were making the decision. By the way, originally when these were used at first, the authorization to pull the trigger on the Hellfire missile was made at a very high level. With familiarity with the technology, it has devolved to lower levels now. But they would feel that they would take some consolation in realizing that this is a team decision, whom to target and whether the person on the camera, in the camera's view, is that intended target. And they feel that that is a necessary step in the war on terror, or to use a little better English usage, the war on terrorism. It's a direct outgrowth of the authorization of the use of military force, the AUMF. So if you want my sense of where we should be heading to be more effective than I have been up to this point in bringing any control over this to stop its expanded use, we should look at the AUMF. We should look at the phrase war on terror. Because the traditional standards of war fighting have not been applied for the last 10 years, we have gotten into some indefensible positions, including assassination by drone. So I don't know how to do it, but if we can change the public mind about the difference between war and crime and punishment, we would have a chance of bringing this under some control. On the Intelligence Committee, I fought a losing battle for, 8 years or however long I was on there, to stop my colleagues from using the term war. Because it was through the use of war that they led themselves into the kind of thinking that allows this to happen. So I did successfully pass in the House, but not get enacted, limitations on the purchase or use of lethal drones, armed drones within the United States. Of course, some of my colleagues said, why in the world would you need to prohibit that? It hasn't been used to my knowledge yet, but I think it is worth looking at. But I don't think that through laws or regulations restricting the use of drones we will get anywhere until we get at the root of the problem, which is whether this is war or not. Thanks.